Now, domestic violence affects many people across Australia. According to Australia's National Research Organisation for Women's Safety, one in four, that is disgusting, one in four Australian women have experienced physical or sexual violence by an intimate partner since the age of 15. That is terrible. New South Wales' leading LGBTIQ plus health organisation, ACON, also recognises this as a problem for their communities. Joining me today is ACON's Assistant Director for Community Health and Regional Services, Sarah Lambert. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Daily.
No, it's our pleasure, and we really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this important issue.
Yeah, it's something I know myself, I hadn't really sort of considered. How is domestic and family violence different in the LGBTIQ plus relationships?
Sure. Look, I'll first start by referencing the statistic that you just provided, that was one in four women over a lifetime. And within LGBTI communities, it is the same rate of prevalence. However, that is not often recognised or understood. So with one in four LGBTI people in the lifetime since the age of 15 will have experienced domestic and family violence.
That is terrible.
And that's something that is not largely known. I guess there are certainly some differences and some unique needs that, with that not being recognised, and certainly in terms of education levels of the community, but also service response needs that are a bit different. And a lot of that comes out of different ways in which our relationships play out, and things such as not having information that translates to our relationships, which might perhaps be less monogamous, or we're fought very hard to be in. And so the prevalence of aggression and domestic violence, but also in having positive role models and what healthy relationships looks like, is unfortunately not at the same accessibility for our communities. So it's actually quite common for people not to realise when they're in those situations that that actually is not a normal part of a healthy relationship.
Right. Are there certain sectors of the LGBTIQ plus communities that are at a higher risk of domestic violence?
Certainly, and a part of it is in terms of how domestic and family violence plays out that can be a little bit different. So things such as outing are extremely complex and part of the domestic and family violence experience. So people living with HIV, for example, or who have diverse gender or sexuality, and perhaps who are not as expressive, or it's not as well known that they identify in those ways, are at higher risk because often there's isolation as a result. And people often, things such as coming out or being misgendered is often part of that complex picture, and so puts people at higher risk.
Right. Can you tell us a little bit about your Say It Loud campaign?
Certainly. So the Say It Loud campaign was launched at the end of last year, and it really is about highlighting what healthy relationships look like in our communities, as well as being able to identify the unhealthy aspects. And the campaign has a fabulous film called Red Flags, which aims to raise the awareness of the subtleties and the nuances with domestic and family violence in our communities, where it's not just the physical aspects, which people often associate, but also the things around power, control, and more financial and social and emotional forms of abuse. The campaign has a wonderful comprehensive website that is available for community members, family, friends, and health professionals, with a range of information both for people experiencing domestic family violence, those that are concerned about others, but also for health professionals in how do we access and support these communities.
Okay, what is that website?
The website is, let me just read it out so I get it correct.
Yep.
yes, sorry, I've got it just here. Right. It's sayitoutloud.org.au.
Excellent. We'll make sure there's a link to that website on our podcast as well.
Wonderful.
Now, ACON works with both, your organisation, ACON, works with both the victims and the perpetrators of domestic violence. I found this really interesting. Why do you think it's important to look at both ends of the problem?
Well, really, if you're wanting to address the issue of healthy relationships and domestic and family violence, you can't just look at it from one aspect. And often in our communities in particular, nature of the relationships is not always clear-cut. So there's often things that start off with there being a more dominant person in the relationship who's perpetrating violence, but often it actually becomes a little bit more complex, or there's nuances to it. Certainly, if we're wanting to do something about domestic and family violence, we need to give attention to the people who are utilising violence. They're not bad people. It just means often they do not have the coping skills or the skills and the ability to manage the behaviours that perhaps they themselves might have been exposed to and therefore they've adopted. So it's really important that we not only raise the abilities of people who are experiencing as victims, but also the people who are perpetrating, who actually are often wanting to seek assistance so that they are not doing those things and that they're not stigmatised from doing so.
Yeah, that's an interesting way of looking at it, because I know my own sort of train of thought, I would have always thought that the person perpetrating the domestic violence, I would have always sort of thought, oh, well, that's just a bad person. But the way you're explaining there certainly makes a lot more sense, and, you know, reaching out and trying to help them and giving them the skills to manage that, definitely probably the way to go. Now, ACOM's recently received funding for a collaboration with Relationships Australia. Can you tell us a little bit about what you'll be doing together?
Certainly. So we received some funding through the Australia's National Research Organisation for Women's Safety, which is ANROS, to do research particularly into the perpetration of domestic and family violence and what it looks like within our communities. And so these include therapeutic groups where we're looking at how actually to behave, men's behaviour change groups and programs translate for our communities, and actually doing that by doing it within practice. There's also research into what is the existing evidence base that is being done within our communities with that work.
Okay. Now, again, can we just have that website again? If someone is sort of currently experiencing domestic or family violence, where can they go for help?
Certainly. So the website is www.sayitoutloud.org.au. And if someone is experiencing difficulties, the best service to reach out to is 1-800-RESPECT, which is also the website 1-800-RESPECT.org.au, which provides telephone counselling and support as well as referral options.
Excellent, excellent stuff. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
There you are. That was Sarah Lambert there from ACON, casting a bit of light on something that I certainly hadn't sort of considered, domestic and family violence within the LGBTIQ+ communities.